The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Welcome in. Busy day. A lot happening. Let's get right to it. On a Wednesday, middle of the week, middle of the month. Is today tax day or was that yesterday? I knew I forgot something yesterday. Don't tell anybody. Let's get right to it with some of the headlines. And Jeremy Pruitt will have his day in court, like, right this very second. This is going on, and we will have a live report later in the show. Some advice for Tony Petitti, the Big Ten commissioner. He should work with Sankey, not against him. That's from Matt Hayes, and I think there's a pretty good chance that he will do exactly that, Matt. But thanks for offering your unsolicited advice. Speaking of the commissioner, he weighed in on Hugh Freeze's suggestion to have something other than a spring game. And what did the commissioner say in an interview with some reporters? You're going through generally 14 spring practices and a spring game, and it's always the same sweaty faces across the line of scrimmage. Perhaps you can build some energy for your team by lining up from time to time who's sweating just as much but looks a little bit different. I guess that means he's in favor of spring sweat. Alabama and LSU are on the field Saturday for the spring games. A lot of question marks for both, quarterback being the biggest for Alabama. For LSU, it's the interior line, the running backs, the cornerbacks, and can they do it again? And Nick Saban, in an interview, this is our friend Ricky Green. He did an interview with the Next Round in Birmingham, and essentially, I think, you know, it's a long statement here, but it looks to me like he's saying maybe Georgia has taken it back. Taking it away from us, and what we've got to do now is take it back. He never mentioned Georgia, though. Is there something to that? Is that like, remember the Ohio State coach, or was it the Michigan coach who would never mention? Oh, it was the Ohio State coach who wouldn't mention that school up there or down there or over there. Brandon Marcello knows all about that. Brandon, hate to hit you with that big Nick Saban quote here as we begin, but is there anything to read into that? We always tend to read a lot into anything Nick Saban says, does, or considers doing.
What's been the only team or person that has ruined Alabama's years the last 2 years? It's Georgia and Kirby Smart. So I think it's obvious he's referring to the Georgia Bulldogs. And, you know, listen, they're not just a threat anymore. They're the big daddy in the SEC. Everybody answers to Georgia right now, not Alabama. Kirby Smart's voice carries more weight in the SEC right now than Nick Saban for the first time in a decade plus, because Georgia is by far the best program in the SEC right now and has been the last 2 years. Now, if you go
Brandon,
into it
Brandon,
this year,
Brandon,
look
Brandon,
at it.
Brandon, slow down. Did you just say what I think you said? Did you just say that Kirby Smart's voice carries more than Nick Saban? They're what'd you call them, the big daddy?
Yeah, I mean, how many national championships has Nick Saban won the last 2 years?
I never answer questions like that. It's that's a hypothetical.
Well, hypothetically speaking, Kirby Smart has a really good shot at becoming the first program to win three straight national championships at Georgia this year because of the roster. And until Alabama knocks Georgia down again, then Kirby Smart's voice does carry more weight, both one in the SEC and also on the recruiting trail as a developer of NFL talent on both sides of the ball. Right now, Kirby Smart has that edge. Georgia has the edge. And until Alabama proves it on the field, the rest is just talk. And I understand Nick Saban, what he's saying. Hey, someone's been ruining that for us the last couple of years. But listen, it's not all about you, Alabama. It's not all about you anymore. It's Georgia's party right now. And you're still in there. You can wreck it yourself. You got to be the one that wrecks that culture now instead of being the one who's throwing the party and hosting everybody.
Someone apparently kidnapped Brandon Marcello. There's an imposter sitting in his chair because he's saying all these what you're saying, Brandon, is really the truth. You know I'm kidding with you here. But so the question now is, with what Georgia has in front of them, what does Alabama have to say about it? Because there seem to be more questions in Tuscaloosa right now than answers.
Yeah, and you listen, you want to boil this down to, like, we talk about all the questions these teams face in the spring. For Georgia and Alabama, they face big questions at quarterback, but don't you feel more comfortable with Georgia and what they've got coming in at quarterback and being able to have a good starter there, a solid starter, than at Alabama? And this is saying something, considering that with Georgia and Carson Beck, we've seen him from time to time, but at Alabama, we've had an opportunity to see Jalen Milroe as a starter and in action, and he's been a little bit not necessarily on that elite level we expect from Alabama quarterbacks, which is a very, very high ceiling to hit every year. But it's very interesting to me that here for the first time in 5 or 6 years that we've got all these big questions about Alabama. And by the way, the last time we had a legit quarterback competition at Alabama was 5 or 6 years ago. There are way too many questions outside the quarterback spot. But for right now, when you want to just boil this all down, everything, Georgia feels much better about answering its questions at quarterback than Alabama right now with Jalen Milroe going up against Ty Simpson. Everybody's uber talented, but are you someone that's going to be able to elevate the players around you like Bryce was able to do at Alabama the last couple of years?
We are talking to Brandon Marcella. Brandon, let's get to another program, and that's Texas A&M. Seems like the questions are the same, the narrative, but what do we know and what have we learned about this new, seemingly arranged marriage between Bobby Petrino and Jimbo Fisher?
I wouldn't call it a marriage. It's just a spring fling right now, and we'll see if it lasts beyond a year or two. The window is short here for them to compete for a national championship with the talent they've got on campus right now. And you look at the transfer portal right now, one of my colleagues lined this out at 24/7 Sports today, that memorable class, the number one class ever at Texas A&M, 8 of the 30 guys have left the team just in this transfer portal this year. So you're not keeping everybody on board. And the other argument for that, for the going against that is, well, those weren't starters. Those aren't guys that are necessarily going to be Power 5 starters elsewhere. The fact of the matter is you're losing guys when you should be feeling good about yourself and gaining type top-tier players. Then you go back to their spring game, which, listen, I hate looking into spring games and going, well, this is what this team is going to look like here offensively and defensively. And the fan base there is pretty upset because the offense looked more like the same from last year. So what's going on with Bobby Petrino there? Well, I could tell you from talking to people around the program is they were very vanilla offensively in that spring game and will remain so. So what you saw offensively from A&M this past spring, in that spring game, I should say, you're not going to see that when they hit the field in September. But again, A&M's put up or shut up time. And Bobby Petrino is the instant upgrade for them offensively. It's just a matter of, is Jimbo Fisher going to try and rein him in and have control over the offense, bust out those 50 pieces of paper and placards he has on the sideline and look crazy out there and spend the entire play clock waiting to call a play? Or is he going to let Bobby Petrino run this thing? If he lets Bobby Petrino run that offense, A&M is going to challenge for an SEC championship spot this year.
That's quite a statement, and it's one that I think is most intriguing. So why and what will be different if Petrino is unshackled? Can they overcome all the mistakes, all the stupidity, all the discipline issues of last year?
Listen, change can be a good thing. One, with Petrino, we know that. That's an instant upgrade there at offensive coordinator. Then some of these players, there were some distractions there, and they're the ones who ended up leaving the program, whether it was during this past season or right after this season. So you've got a group that's a little bit more together, a little bit more cohesive going into this year, and they still have a top 10 talent roster right now if you look at the 24/7 Sports team composite. So this is a team that is in a position to contend for a national championship, but they are still kind of young. That's going to hold them back a little bit. But they've got the coaches around them to be successful. They've got the type of players they need to be successful. This year, they've got to show that type of progress. Maybe they do contend for an SEC championship this year. I think they will contend to be in Atlanta, but they've got to show, at the very least, improvement. And 5 wins, absolute bottom of the barrel last year. This should be a team that wins no less than 8 games this season, but the expectation should be 9-plus wins.
But it's so interesting that you say that, winning 8 games, 9 games. A year ago, we would have thought that was incredible to think that a team projected in the top 5 or 6. Are we Are we lowering the expectations now for Jimbo Fisher based on what happened last year? Or did you think we just acknowledged that we had them way too high in the first place?
I think we acknowledge that we put them up way too high. I think there's a lot of reasons for this. We had them way up too high. LSU is back on the rise. I think LSU is in a position right now to be a top four, top five team in the preseason polls and actually be above Alabama. Alabama is still a top six team right now. So you've got Alabama, you got LSU in your own division who are automatically better than you just looking at it on paper and from what they've got coming back and their experience last year. And so for A&M, yes, we've lowered the expectations because they did not meet our own expectations last year. But the fact of the matter is they still have a top 10 roster that should be at the bottom floor winning 8 or 9 games. Beyond that, you should be setting expectations beyond that. And the problem, though, for them, like everybody else in the SEC West, you've got to face LSU. You've got to face Alabama. And then you, of course, got to face the likes of Ole Miss and, of course, Auburn, which just hired Hugh Freeze, who has a penchant for sprouting some upsets in his first year. So this is a difficult schedule for them, but they got the talent. They should contend, and they should be nowhere near 5 wins this year. They should be at least at 8 wins.
Great stuff. Fantastic conversation with Brandon. Appreciate it, Brandon. You be well. Come back. That was a lot to digest, and we have 4 hours to figure out the reaction that all of you have to what Brandon had to say. We are only beginning right now here on this afternoon. Matt will join us in a couple of minutes. Seth Emerson will talk to one of the top players in the country from Mississippi State, and we'll find out what happened at the Pruitt hearings today. All of that on our Wednesday show.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we're back, and Matt Hayes writing about the new commissioner of the Big Ten and what he should be doing. The last commissioner went rogue, ended up leaving his league in good shape because of TV deals, but it was a rocky road, and Matt Hayes joins us. Always great to have Matt on. Matt, thanks for the time. Good afternoon. Tell us more about what you see happening with the Big Ten and what they need to be doing with SEC.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for allowing me to come on. Look, honestly, I see this as a situation where, you know, I don't even know if the relationship between Greg Sankey and Kevin Warren was cordial. It was that bad. So I think these two, look, we can't hide from the reality that the Big Ten and the SEC are pulling away from the rest of college sports. So my idea is the next thing for college sports clearly is pay for play. That's coming down the pike. I mean, you cannot have the conferences earning, you know, billions annually through their deals and through the playoffs, and the players not get some of that. It's going to happen. Just a matter of when and how. So I think they need to work together and start to think more globally. They're not really rivals. They need to start thinking like the AFC and the NFC, because whether they like it or not, And whether any of the fans like it or not, their product is moving closer to a professional model. And I think they need to find the best way to get there and do it proactively instead of reactively. The problem with NIL and the problem with free player movement is the NCAA just basically unleashed it on everybody and said, good luck. And there was no proactive movement there. I think they've got to work together instead of as rivals and realize they're not really rivals. They're the two conferences that can basically strengthen everything.
Yeah, and Matt, on that front, most of the competition off the field is over. The TV deals are done. Neither has even gone into effect yet. So I think what you're saying makes a lot of sense. Let me take it a step further in terms of everyone else outside of the SEC and Big Ten. What does it look like for the other three leagues right now, trying to catch up or figure out a way or a path forward?
Bleak. I mean, that's kind of the best way to put it, Paul. I mean, in a couple years, you're talking about they will be. I mean, you're talking about the Big 12 earning the most of the three. Well, basically, it'll probably be a little bit more, so like 38, 40, somewhere around there. And the SEC, million annually, I should say, per team. And the SEC and the Big Ten are going to be 80 or more. And that's a difficult chasm to breach. If you are an ACC school, if you're a Big 12 school, clearly the Pac-12 is going to be much less than that, if it's still around, which I don't know that it is going to still be around. I mean, Paul, you look at it, and now you see why the FSU athletic director in that very public Board of Trustees meeting, which is rare in and of itself, was complaining about the reality that they're going to be a long way behind rivals in college sports as far as generating revenue and keeping up with the elite of the Big Ten and the SEC. So then what do? Do they try and find a way out of that, you know, rock-solid grant of rights for their deal with the ACC? Do they sue the ACC? There's a lot still to happen because you've got a few mega programs that don't want to be left behind. And you look at Florida State and Miami and Clemson, they don't want to be left behind like that. So then what do? What's their alternative?
Talking to Matt Hayes. Matt, let me get from off the field to on the field this fall. It all starts with Georgia. Your thoughts on Kirby Smart heading for a three-peat? And if not, then who within the league has the best chance of slowing them down?
Well, I'll tell you what, Carson Beck looked good. And I know it's the spring. I know it's a spring game. And here's the best way I can explain spring games, Paul. If you remember, Justin Fields had a terrible spring game at Ohio State when he transferred from Georgia. Like, awful. Then he went out in the season and had 40 touchdowns and one interception. So take it all with a grain of salt. But, boy, Carson Beck looks good. He can make every throw. He's a physical guy. He's got a great arm. They're going to be dangerous offensively. They just got a lot of talent. You know, they got two receivers from the portal that are going to help them. Defensively, they're going to be very good. I think the only thing that stops them is Georgia, Paul. Honestly, it's, you know, we've got about now, what, 4 months to go, 4 months to go before the season begins. Can Kirby keep those guys in line? And they've had a problem the first couple of months of the offseason, so let's see what happens there. As far as who could beat them, we don't know what's going on with the Alabama quarterback, and I know you've spoken about this. I don't know what's going to happen with, be it Milroe, be it Simpson, whoever it is. I don't know what it's going to look like. And typically, if you just go on, okay, well, I trust what Nick Saban is. I trust his process. I trust his decision to hire Tommy Rees. Then you can say that. But the reality is, until it's on the field and we see it playing out, we have no idea what it looks like. At least with Bryce Young, you knew he was a mega recruit. And you could see that, yeah, the potential was there. With Tua, you knew he was a mega recruit. Like, you could see it was there. I just don't know that you see it yet with Alabama.
Beyond Alabama, are you buying this hype on LSU, or is there someone else you see coming up?
I like LSU. I think Jaden Daniels is going to play a lot better in his second year as a starter. I'll tell you what else I like, Paul. That's if, and this is a giant if Jimbo and Bob Petrino can get along. Boy, Connor Wiegman, I mean, you watched him last year and last month of the season. He has talent. And they have a talented roster. You know, if he gets hot, he becomes, you know, an elite quarterback in the league. They have enough talent on that team to do some damage. And I don't know that they're going to win the SEC, but they're going to be a hard team to beat if big if again, everything turns the way they think it can turn.
Matt, you're in Florida. You do a talk show in Jacksonville. What are your college football fans saying about Billy Napier and the Gators?
That was brutal, that spring game. Again, just a spring game, but I think it's very clear that they need another quarterback. Billy Napier came out, literally minutes after the game in his post-game press conference and said, yeah, we're going to look into the spring portal at a quarterback. Graham Mertz is not the guy. Jack Miller is not the guy. And they're trying to find a bridge to get the DJ Lagway, the five-star recruit that's coming in 2024. But, they need somebody in that offense that can at least stress the defense somehow. Is it a guy from the SEC? Is it Nussmeier if he leaves? Is it Max Johnson if he leaves Texas A&M? Is it Brock Vandegrift, who, quite frankly, didn't look that good in the spring game at Georgia? I don't know. Any of those guys, all three of those guys, would need an appeal to get past the SEC's spring transfer portal kind of blockade that the coaches all wanted, and now they're all panicking about it. They're going to need an appeal to do that. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next 2-3 weeks, Paul.
Great stuff, as always. Matt Hayes joining us from Florida. We head to the break right now. Your phone calls, we haven't had a chance to take a call yet. How about that? I wonder why the show seemed different, more sane. We are getting to your phone calls right after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
There are two more spring football games, both on Saturday, LSU and Alabama. Check it out on Plus. Finally calls as we make our way toward the second half hour. David is up first from Alabama. Hello, David.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call today.
Thank you.
Having a good hot day today.
Absolutely.
I was just going to see what you had heard after yesterday about the scrimmage at Alabama, about either quarterback.
I've heard that the quarterback situation does not look great. Again, with one more big day ahead, it could change. But people supposedly in the know say that Alabama is struggling at that position.
That's what I'm hearing, too, and I'm a little concerned about it. But, I know Coach Saban always seems to bring the best out in anybody that he's got, and I just hope that happens again, this season. And I just, after hearing my buddy Matt the other day on Monday talking about Bobby Petrino, he's talking like he wishes that Petrino was the head coach, sounds like. I don't think Bobby Petrino is going to be able to turn Texas A&M around, and again, I think they're going to lose 6 games this year. And if my buddy's on hold, you can bring him on, and I'd love to talk to him.
Yeah, he's here. We'll see if we can connect you guys. Give us a second. Matt said the other day that Bobby Petrino owned Nick Saban, even though he is lifetime 0-5. Can we get Matt on here? Let's see. Okay, there we go. Matt's on with
Yeah, I guess I'm going to say to him, Vitrino is a better offensive coordinator than your lame. Shut up. Shut your mouth up. Your offensive coordinator sucks. He's lame. He's pathetic. He couldn't prove it at Notre Dame when he went against Alabama. Every time he did, he got smacked around like they owned him, okay? He was fake or a loser. At least we have a quarterback on our team who's good and might actually be the starter. Or Max Johnson will be the starter. You ain't got no good quarterback on your team. You Alabama fans can shove it where the sun don't shine because Bobby Petrino is a better offensive coordinator than your lame, buffetic one that you got for Notre Dame. So,
Matt, allow David to speak, please. Show some decorum.
Matt, please slow down and quit talking like a drunk Smurf. You don't have to talk 100 miles an hour.
Oh, wow. Lucas sounds more pathetic.
David, hold on a second. Give Matt a chance to get off the floor after that shot. He'll need it. Okay, Matt, I want to hear from David here, okay? Pike down.
Go ahead.
All right, Matt, please just calm down a little bit. Go take your blood pressure medicine. Everything's going to be all right.
I'm fine, man. 36 years old. But, I'm not an old man.
Well, I'm not either. But I'll tell you this, you think Petrino's going to turn you guys around?
Yes, he will. Yes, because everywhere he's gone, today with less weapons, he scored 34
points. David, thank you for showing some class here. I appreciate it very much. I don't know why Matt decided to go rogue, but he did. Great call by David there, an embarrassing call by Matt. Is that a TKO or is that a flat out knockout? Flat out knockout. I mean, that one shot put Matt. Matt was.
Drunk Smurf.
That drunk Smurf line. Matt was just. He was just. He went to the wrong corner. He went sat down. The guy said, "I'm not your cut man." Dustin, save the day right here from Tulsa.
Oh, good Lord. You know, it's funny that you put them on because I actually did call to address the dribble that has been coming from Matt and Dwayne for the last few days. Matt is a typical Aggie. Everything is always going to go their way. They're always going to win the championship every year. And if the minute that things start going wrong, it's always somebody else's fault and it couldn't possibly be our fault. And if you don't like it, shut up. Dwayne, I feel like he's got a little bit more leeway given that he's an LSU fan, but he needs to do something other than just repeat the same sentence 10 and 20 times. I understand. I'm a pretty fanatical Razorback. However, if I think something, I can at least come up with, you know, well, I think we're improved at this position because of this player or because of this coach. Those two idiots, especially Matt, did he say he was 36 years old?
36.
Oh, I thought that guy was a kid. I thought that guy was a kid. There's no way that a real grown-ass man should be conducting himself that way.
Yeah, I would hardly use those words to describe this man.
God, he probably works at Whataburger, like the late shift, and still lives in his parents' basement. I mean, I'm still going to refer to him as a kid because he acts like a kid. He's a damn fool. He's a typical Aggie. And he's the worst part of your show. In fact, I don't understand why he gets so mad about Jim because he's just like him. I mean, the only thing Matt doesn't do is threaten to leave the show. He talks like Jim. He acts like Jim. He yells over people like Jim. And he's got the same, you know, one-trick playbook. That's all he does. Shut up. Shut up. You listen to me. Shut up. Shut your mouth. Shut up.
I think that's a great response, don't you, Dustin, when you have nothing else?
Well, I guess it's the last bastion of the defenseless, I suppose. But, Matt, maybe you should take a break, bud. You embarrassed yourself today. You embarrass the Aggies every time you call in. Take a break, man. Let some other people call in and then have some sapient points. Paul, you guys have a great afternoon. Thank you.
Well said, man. All-time great call there from Dustin. Just when, we made a mistake, I think. We remember we had him in the play-in game with AJ, and we should have just deep-sixed AJ. In fact, why don't we just deep-six AJ? Dustin has come back with great stuff there. Expired in Texas. How are you?
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Very well.
You think that was a good call? Typical Aggie? What the hell is he talking about? I don't know. Matt ain't a typical Aggie. He's an idiot, okay? And, oh, boy, Dustin from Hogland, I don't know. They can't beat us, so it doesn't really matter. He is null and void. You need to expire him from the show. But anyway, you finally
I like this Aggie on Razorback crime here.
Well, we're all us Aggies are in jail because I think we won like 9 out of the last 10 games.
Yeah, no, that has been a dominating run.
I don't know if it's premeditated or what, if we're in an electric chair or what's going to happen to us, but we just keep kicking their teeth in. Okay, Paul? That's what we do. But let's get to the main point. You actually had two decent speakers talking about the Aggies and actually what their potential is. And I got to thinking while they were talking, Paul, I wouldn't trade Texas A&M's talent for Alabama's talent right now. And let me tell you why. We have a better quarterback. Evan Stewart is a better receiver. Fidel Diggs is a better defensive end. Alabama does have a good defense. Walter Nola is the best defensive tackle in the SEC. Our secondary is better than Alabama's. Our running back core going to be dotted the I with Reuben freaking Owens. Remember that name. And, you know, maybe we don't have the best tight end, but we got some really good young ones, and Donovan Green's going to be a stud. And Max Johnson's brother is a heck of a tight end that can be flanked out. Hey, and the last thing I'm going to say is any idiot that thinks that Max Johnson's going to start over Connor Wegman is a freaking idiot. Old Brett Zwimmer, whatever his name is from the Chronicle.
Yeah, I did not understand that at all, because everything I've heard is Connor is part of the reason there's so much optimism in Aggie land. Hey, thank you very, very much for the call. Great stuff. We have time for one more call. Who do you think it is?
You know who it is.
I know who it is. It's Jim.
It's not a damn fool named Dustin, and it's not a damn fool from San Antonio. You really believe that was a good call from that moron, Dustin? He's a complete idiot, Paul. You let him say that. You think that's good? You think he's right about me being a one-trick pony?
Yeah, no, Jim, just because I said it was a good call didn't mean I agreed with the entire body of work. I was trying to prop the guy up. He's been on a rough run lately.
He doesn't deserve being propped up. He's a complete moron.
Okay.
That Dustin, he tries to be tough. He thinks that's going to get him somewhere, but his stupidity gets him nowhere. To make a call, say that about me, that's outright. I don't care if you think I'm bragging or biased or whatever about myself, but I know where I stand, and you know where I stand, and that fool comes in here. I mean, who was it? Legend, I think, got on somebody the other day, but it was AJ. He said, who the hell you think you are? You can't come in here. You ain't earned that right to talk like that.
Well,
he ran AJ
out of the gym. AJ's not coming back after that.
Yeah, well, I'm running this Dustin out of the gym, too. Dustin's got nothing, and you know it. Just a big freaking lying mouth. That's all he's got, Paul. Come on, you know nothing he said about me, right? I mean, he can put Matt down. Yeah, I agree with that. But to compare Matt to me? Come on, Paul. You're doing better.
Okay,
you were doing better than this.
I will concede that that's a very sapient point you've made.
Well, you heard it from him before you gave.
But I want you to know, Jim, when I agree with a caller, that doesn't mean I agree with every single thing that they say in a 5-minute call.
I know, Paul. I've heard you. If that was about Legend, you'd be all over him. You'd be all over him. Come on, Paul.
Okay,
Jim, Paul. You need to be real.
What do we do? Is Jim right?
Yes.
Okay. Your buddy Randy said you're right.
Thank you. Well, Randy's coming up now. Maybe Randy's on the rise.
don't get carried away on Randy.
Well, hell, Paul, that pisses me off. I'll see.
Okay. I should have been a mediator. I just felt like it was time to ameliorate the situation. Let's take a break. We're only in the first hour. I mean, if you thought we're in the final few minutes of the show. We're in late show form, but we are only 43 minutes in. We're coming right back after this.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back. Rick in Houston is our next caller. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Paul. First off, to Dustin, man, don't be denigrating Whataburger by saying Matt works there. We all know that he works at Jack in the Box. Second of all,
by the way,
Jim,
I think he used to work at a fast food restaurant. do you guys remember where he worked? Yeah, he worked at one of them. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. I got my start at McDonald's. Everybody knows this. I didn't last. I was one of the few people that couldn't cut it at McDonald's.
I hear you. Hey, second of all, Jim, go change your diaper. Put some Boudreaux's butt cream on yourself. You'll feel a lot better. Paul, have a great day.
Thank you very, very much. Pat in Georgia on the air. Hello, Pat.
Hey, Paul, thanks. Listen, Brandon Marcello and Matt Hayes, they both nailed it. I mean, they hit every nail flat on the head. Georgia's got back-to-back. We're looking at a three-peat possible, or a triple crown, like I called it yesterday. You got to beat us. If you want to take our place, you're just going to have to beat us. And
Do you find it weird when Saban talks about that? It's so awkward. because it seemed like yesterday he was in charge, and now he's passive aggressively talking about Georgia.
And that was my next point, Paul. Thank you very much for the lead. He's not talking about playing against themselves. He's not talking about the way they execute is their opponent and their standard. He's talking about us.
Yeah.
I mean,
it always used to be we have to deal with – it was the inner self. It was like our job isn't to worry about the opponent. We don't care about that. We prepare, and if we're prepared, we will win.
No, absolutely. And I think LSU is going to be some type of contender. You don't win that many games at Notre Dame. He knows how to win, and they're going to win. And Freeze at Auburn, they're set up to – I don't know that they've got the players right now, but they're set up to be a contender also. Now, I assume that we're talking about Texas A&M, because it's hard to take your eyes off a train wreck. It really is.
Yeah, but it won't take much for Jimbo Fisher to undo last year if he can get a couple of big wins out of the chute.
No, absolutely. I agree with that. Jimbo Fisher's he's got a catch 22. Bobby Petrino, if he turns him loose and lets him call all the plays, I think that'll be successful for Texas A&M this year, and they'll win a whole lot more games than they won last year. But I think what that's going to look like in the end is that they're going to end up with two head coaches. And
yeah, but Pat, I don't think he has any choice. And you know, I think he's doing the right thing. And I frankly think these things are not as sensational and as complicated as we make them out to be. Bob is up next. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Hey, I saw in the news yesterday, they said Alabama's point of emphasis in spring is more physical,
right.
Physicality, they call it. Well, I thought, well, why did we stop being physical? You know what changed? You know what changed? That crazy Coach Cochran's not in the weight room. I mean, who wouldn't work out like a madman with that crazy guy running around? Where did Coach Cochran go?
He went to Georgia.
With Kirby Smart. They must be buds.
They are. But another thing happened at Alabama that in the last 7 or 8 years, they've had dynamic quarterbacks. So they've been playing in space more. They haven't been as traditional. And I think it will be
right.
One of the great tests of Nick Saban's latter coaching career if he can pull this off and win.
Yeah, remember when we were winning national championships back-to-back and we would just – they dreaded playing us. We would just bowl them over. Well, it's not like that anymore. We get beat. Coach Saban always says, we got to beat the guy in front of us. Well, we always don't do that. They beat us. You know, I guess, you know, just got to fix that part of the puzzle.
3 hours to go. We thank you for being here for the first hour. We are coming right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.